Turning now to the complex area of non-domiciled individuals and capital losses. Where a non-domiciled individual has a capital loss on a UK asset, the loss must be set against chargeable gains for the year. Unless Section 16ZA applies, which we'll discuss later, the loss can be set against any chargeable gains for the year, including remitted gains from an earlier year. This effectively permits a carryback of the loss. There are different rules for losses on foreign assets. Again, we'll cover these later in this session. By way of illustration, Per is resident in the UK but is domiciled in Sweden. He has lived in the UK since January 2004. In 2009-10, Per sold some Swedish shares, making a gain of £60,000. He claimed under Section 809B to use the remittance basis for 2009-10. No gains were remitted in 2009-10. In 2010-11, Per sold the following assets: a UK investment property at a gain of £30,000 and shares in BP PLC, a UK company, at a capital loss of £55,000. In September 2010, he remitted £48,000 of the 2009-10 gain to his UK bank account. Per became liable to the long-term residence charge in 2010-11, as this is his 8th year of residence. He therefore decided not to make a Section 809B claim for 2010-11. His worldwide income for 2010-11 is £70,000. We'll consider the CGT position for 2010-11. The CGT position for 2010-11 is as follows. The gain of £30,000 on the UK investment property is taxed on an arising basis. In September 2010, he remitted £48,000 of the 2009-10 foreign gain, so this is also taxable. The capital loss of £55,000 on the sale of shares in BP PLC is allowable and will be set against capital gains in the year. The loss will wipe out the gain of £30,000, and the remaining £25,000 of the loss will be set against the remitted gain. The chargeable gain is now £23,000. As Per has not made a Section 809B claim for 2010-11, an annual exemption is available. The taxable gain is £12,900. Per is a higher rate taxpayer, so CGT is payable at 28%, giving £3,612. As all gains were made after the 23rd of June 2010, it doesn't matter how the losses and annual exemption are allocated. Next, we'll consider the impact of Section 16ZA of TCGA 1992. Up until April 2008, non-domiciled individuals could not claim relief for their foreign capital losses. Foreign gains were taxed if they were remitted to the UK. UK capital losses were allowable, but foreign capital losses were ignored. There was no pooling of gains and losses as there is for UK assets. Things changed from the 6th of April 2008, as taxpayers can now choose whether to be taxed on the remittance basis. First, we'll consider taxpayers who do not use the remittance basis. For taxpayers who either are allowed to use the remittance basis without a claim, that is, where unremitted foreign income and gains in the year are less than £2,000, or who do not make a claim under Section 809B of ITA 2007, all capital gains, both UK and foreign, are taxed on an arising basis. Such taxpayers will then receive relief for foreign capital losses which arise in the year. These foreign capital losses are netted off against gains in the year in the same way as for UK domiciled taxpayers. Foreign capital losses brought forward from before the 6th of April 2008 are not allowable. The position is more complicated for remittance basis users. From April 2008, foreign capital losses will remain unavailable unless the taxpayer makes an election under Section 16ZA of TCGA 1992. A Section 16ZA claim is irrevocable once made and cannot be unwound. Elections should be made within 4 years from the end of the first tax year for which a remittance basis claim is made. For example, taxpayers claiming to use the remittance basis in 2008-09 need to make a Section 16ZA election no later than the 5th of April 2013. We will now consider the effects of a Section 16ZA election. The advantage of a Section 16ZA claim is that foreign capital losses will be available for relief in all tax years thereafter, starting with the year for which the claim is made. Relief is given both in years when gains are taxed on an arising or a remittance basis. However, not all non-domiciliaries should make the election, as there are considerable downsides to doing so. The three main side effects of a Section 16ZA election are described below. First, there is a restriction in the use of the annual exemption. If an individual has elected under Section 16ZA for his or her foreign capital losses to be allowable, the annual exemption is not available to be set against remitted gains from an earlier tax year. This applies even if there is no Section 809B claim for the year in which the remitted gain is taxed. Secondly, there is a restriction in the carryback of capital losses. If an individual has elected under Section 16ZA for his or her foreign capital losses to be allowable, then a loss may not be set against chargeable gains taxable on the remittance basis in a tax year after those gains arose. This means that a loss cannot be carried back and set against a remitted foreign gain from an earlier year. Thirdly and finally, there are statutory ordering rules within Section 16ZC which come into effect for the offset of capital losses. If an individual has elected for his or her foreign capital losses to be allowable, statutory ordering provisions are then brought into play, whereby any capital losses, both UK and foreign, must thereafter be offset in the following order. First, against foreign gains, then next against UK gains. This means that if a Section 16ZA election is made and the taxpayer wishes to use capital losses in a year in which he is a remittance basis user, his capital losses, both UK and foreign, will be offset in the following order. First, against foreign gains remitted to the UK, then second, against unremitted foreign capital gains, then lastly, against UK capital gains. The effect of reducing unremitted gains will be that a lower amount will be charged as and when those gains are remitted to the UK. Relief for the losses is therefore deferred until the year in which the gains are remitted, which could possibly be never. In practice, making a Section 16ZA election will mean that unremitted foreign gains will have to be disclosed on the self-assessment return, even if these gains will not be charged in that year, and UK gains could be charged in full, because once a Section 16ZA election is made, all losses, UK and foreign, will have to reduce unremitted foreign gains before being relieved against UK gains. If there are several unremitted foreign gains, losses are offset against later gains before earlier gains. Making a Section 16ZA election could mean that UK losses may not be relieved against chargeable gains in the year, which they might be if a Section 16ZA claim had not been made. Therefore, aside from adding an additional compliance burden, a taxpayer can be financially penalised in certain instances by making a Section 16ZA election. By way of illustration, Olaf is domiciled in Norway. He came to live in the UK in March 2008. He intends to be in the UK for between 5 and 10 years. He is a higher rate taxpayer in the UK. In 2008-09, Olaf sold an asset in Norway, resulting in a capital gain of £100,000. To protect his foreign income and gains from UK tax, Olaf made a claim under Section 809B to use the remittance basis for 2008-09. No income or gains were remitted in the year. In 2009-10, Olaf sold an asset in Norway, resulting in a capital loss of £48,000. No income or gains were remitted in the year. Due to the modest level of foreign income in the year, and in order to secure UK personal allowances, Olaf chose not to claim the remittance basis for 2009-10. In 2010-11, Olaf sold some shares in a Jersey company, making a gain of £35,000. Proceeds of £15,000 in respect of this disposal were remitted to the UK. Olaf also made a gain of £36,000 in March 2011 on the sale of a UK investment property. Olaf claimed under Section 809B to use the remittance basis for 2010-11. He also made an election under Section 16ZA TCGA 1992 in respect of his foreign capital losses. We need to consider his CGT position and, in particular, how the foreign capital loss will be relieved. The CGT position for 2010-11 is as follows. As a Section 16ZA claim has been made, the foreign capital loss of £48,000 from 2009-10 is an allowable loss and will therefore be carried forward for use against chargeable gains in 2010-11. A Section 809B claim is made for 2010-11. Therefore, the chargeable gains in 2010-11 are the remitted 2010-11 gain of £15,000 and the UK gain of £36,000. Chargeable gains, before any loss relief, are £51,000. However, the loss of £48,000 brought forward from 2009-10 is allowable and will reduce these gains. However, the loss must be used in accordance with the statutory ordering rules laid down in Section 16ZC. The loss must first be used against the remitted gain of £15,000. The loss is £48,000, so the remitted gains are reduced to nil. The loss must then be used against any unremitted gains. In 2010-11, Olaf made a foreign gain of £35,000, of which £15,000 was remitted to the UK. The unremitted gain is therefore £20,000. There are £33,000 of losses remaining, so the unremitted gains are reduced to nil. Note that Olaf made a foreign gain of £100,000 in 2008-09, which is also as yet unremitted. As a Section 16ZA election has been made, the loss of 2009-10 cannot be used against gains of the earlier year, 2008-09. Finally, the remaining loss will be used against the UK gain of £36,000. There are £13,000 of losses remaining, so these are set off. This will leave chargeable UK gains for 2010-11 of £23,000. Chargeable gains for 2010-11 are £23,000. No annual exemption is available for 2010-11 as a Section 809B claim was made. Taxable gains are £23,000. As Olaf is a higher rate taxpayer, this gain is taxed at 28%. Olaf still has some unremitted gains. The unremitted 2008-09 gain is £100,000. The unremitted 2010-11 gain is £35,000, less the £15,000 remitted, giving £20,000. As a Section 16ZA claim has been made, if this gain is eventually remitted to the UK, annual exemptions or any future capital losses cannot be set against the remitted gain. The unremitted 2010-11 gain has been reduced to nil by capital losses. Therefore, if Olaf remits the remaining gain of £20,000 in respect of the Jersey shares sold in 2010-11, no CGT will be payable. Section 16ZA elections are irrevocable, and they apply to all losses, not just losses on foreign assets. Therefore, the statutory ordering rules also apply to UK losses made in subsequent years. To illustrate this point, we'll continue with the example of Olaf. In 2011-12, Olaf sold two UK assets as follows. Some UK shares at a loss of £24,000 and a holiday cottage in the UK at a gain of £40,000. Olaf also made foreign gains of £75,000 in respect of his overseas share portfolio. To protect these non-UK gains from UK tax, Olaf made a Section 809B claim for 2011-12. No remittances were made in 2011-12. We'll consider Olaf's CGT position for 2011-12. The CGT position for 2011-12 is as follows. The UK loss is an allowable loss. However, as a Section 16ZA election has been made, the statutory ordering rules apply. The loss must therefore be set against foreign gains before UK gains. There are no remitted foreign gains in 2011-12. The unremitted foreign gain in 2011-12 is £75,000. The UK loss is £24,000. Once a Section 16ZA election has been made, the loss must be set against the unremitted foreign gain before the UK gains. The balance of unremitted gains is £51,000. Therefore, £51,000 will be taxed if these gains are ever remitted to the UK. The UK gains of £40,000 are therefore chargeable in full. No annual exemption is available for 2011-12, as a Section 809B claim was made. Taxable gains are £40,000. As Olaf is a higher rate taxpayer, this gain is taxed at 28%. In this example, the foreign gains of £75,000 will need to be reported on the self-assessment return, even though none have been remitted. If a Section 16ZA election had not been made, the statutory ordering rules would not apply, and Olaf could use the 2011-12 loss as he wished, i.e. to reduce the UK gains and save CGT. As a Section 16ZA election has been made, the loss has been set against the unremitted gains. Olaf will therefore only receive relief for the UK loss of £24,000 if he remits the foreign gain to the UK, which may never happen.